Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Acts 24:10-21. Acts chapter 24, verse 10 to 21. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago, I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. And they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple court doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Or these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin, unless it was this one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." My theme for reflection is a clear conscience before God and the world. A clear conscience before God and the world. A child once asked during a mock trial at school, "If you are innocent, why do you look so serious?" The courtroom scene in Acts 24 offers a similar irony. Paul stands before Felix, falsely accused, yet his calm confidence is unmistakable, not because he expects a fair verdict, but because he knows a higher judge sees his life in truth. The problem in this passage is not merely legal, it is spiritual. Paul is branded a troublemaker, a threat to order, a desecrator of sacred space. The real unease of his accusers, however, is that his life and message expose their own hollowness. As Paul responds, he neither flatters nor fumes. He speaks plainly, respectfully, and courageously, grounding his defense not in clever rhetoric, but in a clear conscience before God. He affirms continuity with the faith of Israel. "I worship the God of our ancestors, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets," and boldly declares his hope in the resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Here the narrative resolves the tension by revealing a deeper truth. The Christian witness is not about self-preservation, but faithfulness to God. Paul knows that human opinion, even from a governor's bench, is temporary. What steadies him is the assurance that his life is being weighed by Christ. In his words and manner, the gospel shows itself as neither political rebellion nor cultural novelty, but as the fulfillment of God's long story with his people. Scripture itself helps us interpret this moment. The psalmist prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." Psalm 51, verse 10. David's plea mirrors Paul's posture. Righteousness is not a performance for spectators, but a life aligned with God's will. The Old Testament longing for integrity and restored relationship finds its completion in Paul's Christ-centered hope, a hope anchored in resurrection and accountable living. What this means for us today is both challenging and liberating. Many of us long to be liked, understood, and validated. Yet Paul models a faith that prioritizes truth over approval. He reminds us that Christianity is not a strategy for winning arguments, but a way of bearing witness with humility and moral clarity. We are called to be known not merely as devout Christians, but as honest, peaceable people whose lives reflect the justice and mercy of God, even when misunderstood or maligned. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, "The test of the morality of a society is what it does for its children." Applied here, perhaps the test of our discipleship is what our lives testify when the world puts us on trial. Are we people of conviction and compassion? Do our words arise from integrity or insecurity? Is our conscience attuned to God's Spirit or silenced by convenience? Paul's defense also reorients our sense of mission. Christianity is not a political movement, nor merely a moral code. It is the lived confession that Jesus Christ fulfills God's saving purposes. Our task is not to win Felix over by flattery or fear, but to remain faithful in love, truth, and conscience. May we learn from Paul to stand before our own Felixes, our critics, colleagues, governments, and neighbors with courage that flows not from pride, but from peace. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what does my conscience reveal about the way I live out my faith before God and others? Number two, am I more concerned with being approved by people or being faithful to Christ? And now our practical exercise for today. Write a short personal testimony, 3 to 5 sentences, that expresses your faith in Christ clearly and respectfully as Paul did. Focus on truth, humility, and hope. Living God, grant us the grace of a clear conscience and the courage to stand for truth with gentleness and love. May our lives bear faithful witness to Christ in every setting, and may our hope in the resurrection shape our words, actions, and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.